We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
Financial difficulty or medical problems, health-related issues, or battling an addiction. Oftentimes, we find ourselves going through this alone. And when we are able to go through this with no problems at all, when you come out victorious, you are hailed as heroic in this culture, in this day and age, because our mindset today is that we should be dealing with our own problems by ourselves, right? You deal your problems on your own by yourselves. But God's word says otherwise. And so I'd like for us to think about this. We cannot be living alone. Many things that we should not be doing alone. First on my list is to live. We cannot be living alone. I'm not talking about housing arrangement. I'm talking about living life as a whole. We cannot be living life alone. God did not make us to be alone. We know that in the Genesis account, the creation account, everything was good until chapter 2, verse 18. It's not good for man to be alone, right? God never designed for us to be alone. And so Mark Gutierrez wisely pointed out last week, we're created to be relational beings. And so this aligns so well with our series right now, Follow Me, Make Disciples. Because here's the big idea. We cannot be alone in following Christ. Let me say that again. We cannot be alone in following Christ. Why? Don't get me wrong when I say you cannot be alone in following Christ. We need to have time alone with God. And I encourage you, if you're not doing that, have time alone with God every day. Have a day with the Lord, just you and God. That's necessary for our spiritual nourishment. But the reason why we cannot be alone in following Christ is, first of all, because of God's nature. We already know God is so focused on others. He is a community. The Trinitarian community is so enveloped with love. They love one another. They are so focused on others. God, one in three, right? One God, three persons. That's our doctrine of the Trinity here. But God has always been focused on others. God never needed to create the world, but He created because He wanted to love and share love to others. From the time of Adam to the time of Abraham, God has always been reaching out, trying to redeem. Moses, Noah, you can see that God always redeemed. And in John 3:16, this is in the New Testament, we all know. This is the manifestation of God being so focused on others. For God so loved the world. Come on, say it with me. That He gave His only Son. That whoever believes should never perish, but have eternal life. Thank you. God so loved. He did not need to do that, but He chose to love. And what else did He do? He gave. By the way, I like that so much when I hear that from the radio. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. God is always so focused on others. This is why we cannot be alone in following Christ. The second reason why we cannot be alone in following Christ is because of our nature. Our nature is so focused on self. If God is so focused on others, we are so focused on self. We have this theory today, which is called hyper-individualism. Some of you heard me say about this, but let's look at the definition again of what individualism is. Can we have that slide, please? Individualism. There it is. It's a noun. It's a habit or principle of being independent and self-reliant. Folks, this is what's being taught at school today. Among the children, we are taught to be independent and self-reliant, isn't it? At work, you are taught to be independent and self-reliant. It's a social theory favoring what? The freedom of who? Of the individuals. That's what it is. Individualism. Focusing the freedom of the individuals over the collective or the state control. It's a moral stance. In fact, it is considered a political philosophy. It's an ideology. It's a social outlook that emphasizes the moral worth of the individual. Now, hyper means over. It's excessive. Hyper-individualism is super focus on self. Today, that's the world we live in. It's so focused on self. That's why people don't mind taking pictures of themselves today. What is it called? Selfie, right? There's no selfie before. We don't want to take pictures of ourselves. We take pictures of others. There is what is called today a me time. Did you hear that? There's a me time. When we use in English, before it used to be, when I say Gary and I would go there. Today, the way it's said is me and Gary. Me and Gary would go to that store. Did you notice that? Me is always first now. Me and my wife. It's not my wife and I. It's our nature is so focused on self. This is the reason why we need. This is the reason why we can see that God's word is so full of one another verses. Care for one another. Accept one another. Encourage one another. Accept one another. Greet one another. Love one another. Now, if we would look at excuse me, let me just turn this off. Maybe that might help. No, it doesn't. Is it the other microphone? No. Never mind. You'll just get used to the buzzing. What's our main verse for follow me, make disciples? Matthew 4:19. Remember that? It's not on the screen. What does it say? Follow me and I will make you happy. Jesus did not say that. Follow me and I will make you happy, right? Follow me and what? And I will make you fishers of men. Even that is so focused on others. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. God's word is so powerful in terms of us being so others focused. We cannot be alone in following Christ. Here's the second big point, and there's no blank there, but we are called by God to be part of His body. We are called to be part of God's body. Now, let's look at the main disciple verse in Matthew 28, which we all know to be the Great Commission. We have seen this verse before. Can we read this all together, please? Because this is something that I'd like for us to really memorize and put it in our hearts. Can we read them together? It's on the screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission is so others focused. Go. Go. It doesn't say stay and enjoy. Be comfortable. No, it's going. Make disciples of all nations. Now, baptizing there is where I'd like to just camp a bit. Baptizing in the original Greek word there, it means to dip, to immerse, to be submerged. Mark Gutierrez last week said about being submerged in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's so true. When we are immersed, we form our identity with that element that we are submerged in. In this instance, the water, in this context. So a white shirt, if you dip it in a red dye, the white becomes red. In the same context, when we are baptized in Christ, I would propose that we lose part of our identity there. And that part that's being lost there is our individualistic focus. Because when we are submerged in Christ, we get the identity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We identify ourselves in Christ. Does that make sense? This is why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He doesn't live for himself anymore because he has died to self. When we are baptized, we die to our old self and we raise up again to the newness of life. If you haven't had a chance to follow Christ in the waters of baptism, please let me know because we will have baptismal service on the very last Sunday of November. So, we are called to be part of God's family. God has designed for us to be part of the family. Now, I'd like for us to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. This is our main text today. Main text, and I know many of us know this passage already. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. And so I will just briefly and go through this to help us understand some characteristics of the body of Christ. There are three things that I just like to highlight here. First of all, one of the characteristics of the body of Christ is that it's one but many. One but many. Okay, what do I mean by that? Can we read verse 12, please? Verse 12 to 14. The body is a unit. May I ask us, by the way, if you have NIV, let's change the word parts to members. Can we do that? When we read, let's change it to members. ESV and NASB, they use the word member because it's the same. It has the same, from the original Greek, it's the same member or parts. But I'd like for us to just have a different perspective here, change our paradigm. When we read the word parts, let's use members, okay? The body is a unit, though it is made up of many members. And though all its members are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Being baptized, being identified in Christ through the Spirit. So, verse 14, now the body is not made up of one member, but of many. One but many. There's one body, many members. That's what it is. What can we take from this? One member, one body but many. We're all different, but we're one in Christ. We are so different in our backgrounds. We speak different dialects. We speak different languages. I, for one, have come from a very different background, similar maybe to Brother Mel. There's a lot of Chinese in us. Different culture, different family, different, many differences, but we're one in Christ. So what this passage is talking about is that we may be different, but we are one in Christ. Does that make sense? You and I may not look the same, and I'm sure the men here would not like to look like me, but we are one in Christ. We are one body. Okay? Now, individualism, let me say this because we are making a big difference between individualism and Christ's collective body here. Individualism does not promote unity and oneness. Individualism promotes this individual, saying how good a person is, and that's what we can see in a very individualistic culture. So, first characteristic, one but many. The second, each member is important. Each member is important. Starting with verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part or member of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be member of that body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged. I like this verse 18. God has arranged the parts or the members in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one member, one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, but one body. And Paul goes on to say, the eye cannot say to the hand, blah, 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 there, until verse 26. If you can just jump straight to Verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body. God made us different so that there should be no division in the body, but that all its members should have equal concern for each other. If one member suffers, what does it say in verse 26? If one member suffers, every member, every part suffers with it. If one member is honored, every member rejoices with it. Folks, do we feel that way in this kind, in this body? Or do you feel so alone? Do you feel so detached? Do you feel like, yeah, I'm suffering, but no one cares? And if that is you, I really would like to hear what's going on, because that's not how God designed the body to be. We cannot just be suffering alone. We need to be together in this, whether in sickness or in health, whether it's rejoicing or suffering, we are called to be together. If one part suffers, the rest of the part suffers as well. And here is what I'd like to take from this. Everyone is important. Some of us may say, I cannot speak well, so I cannot be very useful at Heart of Faith. I cannot sing well, so I may not be good in worshiping. I cannot lead well, so I may not be useful in this body. Some of us may feel that way. I'm not very important, so I can just sit back here and do nothing. Here's the gist of this. It says, Paul says, every member is important. Can we actually say, if I cannot sing well, I cannot be worshiping God, that like Dial or Rhea or Arlene? No. We worship not with our voice, but we worship with our hearts. Amen? And so we cannot say that. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. I need all of you. But if one member of your body does not function, what happens to the body? The whole body does not function well, right? I hurt the ball of my foot here. It seems so insignificant, it's not even seen. But because it was so painful, it hurt me when this past few days, thankfully I'm better now. When I walk, I would have to limp because it's so painful. Now, I realized that when I walk, some of you, when you saw me walking that way, were concerned. You were also concerned about me, what happened to you. Now, that's, I think, body life. If one of you do not function in this body, the whole body does not function well. If one part does not function, if one member does not function, the whole body is affected. Can I say that again? If one member does not function, the whole body is affected. Therefore, not one of us can say, I don't need to do anything. All I need to do is just come and sit down and listen. But if you are part of the body, we cannot do that. Does that make sense? We all need to function so that we will be a healthy body. Some of you may say, Pastor, how about appendix? How about an appendix? Can I be the appendix of this body? What's the function of the appendix anyway? Well, medically speaking, they say it's still debatable. Some of them say that there is a role in the immune system and maybe in the digestive system. But they say it's not a vital part. It's not a vital organ. They don't know the exact function of appendix in our body. But try to remove what happens when an appendix bursts. That's when you would see how it affects the rest of the body. Our 8-year-old son had to go through that, an appendicitis. But none of us can say, I'd like to be the appendix. If one member does not function, the whole body is affected. So, one but many. Secondly, each one is important. Thirdly, the body of Christ is made up of the followers of Christ. In verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a member of it. And look at how it continues here. Paul says, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, then prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, all those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to this is no. It's a question where you're soliciting the answer to be no. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And Paul continues to end that chapter by saying, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Do you know what's the most excellent way? What's 1 Corinthians 13? Love. The most excellent way is the way of love. So we, the church here, see how it's transitioned from 27. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a member. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, in the gifts of the apostles, etc. The body of Christ is the church. Does that make sense? The body of Christ is the church. So you say, what's the church then? The church is not the building. Thankfully, it's not very hard for us to understand that this is not heart of faith. Some of you are saying, Pastor, there are churches that has the name San Diego Church or First Presbyterian Church of San Diego. Those are like houses you would see today. Like in National City, you might see the Bells or the Andersons or the Del Mundos. You know that the name does not mean the house. It means the people inside the house, right? In the same way, San Diego Church or whatever pertains to the people because the church is not the building. The church is the body of Christ, the people. And let me explain that very quickly. When we talk about the body, the church, there are two categories that need to be very clear. There is the universal church of Christ, which is an invisible organization of all followers of Christ of all times. So we have followers from Uganda, we have believers in Belize, we have believers in the Philippines. They're all part of the body of Christ. Universal church, it's the big one. But there is also the expression of the universal church in the local context is called the local church. Just like heart of faith church. Does that make sense? Heart of faith church now then is the expression of the universal church of Christ in where we are. In the New Testament, out of the 144 times that we see that word church, ecclesia, more than 90 of them pertains to the local church, not the universal church. For instance, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Corinth, the church in Jerusalem. Those are local churches. So let me ask you, which body do you really belong to? If Paul were to write a letter today, like he did, church in Galatia, church in Thessalonica, which body would you have been part of if Paul wrote a letter today? Are you part of really a body? Are you part of the body of Christ? Or are you just going to church? Can I say the big difference here? Are you part of the body or are you just going to church? Because if you're just going to church, then you are following the rest of the world's picture of what a church is. It's a building. It's a denomination. It's a religion. But if you understand that the church is the body, then you cannot just be going there because you are the church. It says here, you are now the body. You are part of that church. Does that make sense? I'd like for us to take a look at Romans 12, verses 4 to 5 here. For just as each of us, you know what, maybe let's read this all together aloud. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, And each member belongs to the other. Belongs to all the others. Okay. There is the sense of belongingness. There's a sense of being different, but yet we form one body. With many members, we do not have the same function, but if one does not function well, the whole body is affected. But we belong to each other. Some of us are hesitant about being so involved because we see the flaws of the church. And many of us have been wounded by churches and church leaders, by abusive pastors and some dictatorial leaders in the church. But that's just the essence of what we're going through in the daily grind of walking with Jesus, because we meet people who are so imperfect. That's why the video at the start said that this is not the perfect church. There's a joke that if you find a perfect church, once you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. That's supposed to be a joke. No. This is not a perfect church. And I'm sorry if you have been wounded by a spiritual leader before. But you know what? We cannot be hindered by that anymore. We should come out and take a step of faith and say, God, here I am. I'm part of your body. I'd like to be used and function as a member of your body. Lord, what have you called me to do? Just like what Ethelie shared a while ago. She is gifted in that way. What are we called to do? None of us are gifted to just sit down and listen. We are all called to do something for the body of Christ. But if we're just going to church, then that's when people just sit down and listen and do nothing. Friends, that belongs to the individualism that this world embraces. But we are called to be different. We're called to be aliens, right? So we need to really be thinking again about, what are you calling me to do, God, as part of your body? Are you part of the body of Christ, or are you just going to church? I'd like to show a short video here, and we'll end with this, and then come up with some few challenges, specific ones, on what we can do as members of the body. Many times we feel alone, don't we? And here's the dynamics of the body of Christ. When somebody leaves without even caring for others because they just don't like church anymore, it hurts us, right? It hurts us when there's not enough of our friends who are here anymore and so many empty seats. But you know what? Maybe God is calling us to a different season of this church life now, that you would feel again there's something new about what God is doing and the Spirit moving in our midst. That just like that video, when I watched it, I said, wow, this makes me so alive. That guy there, that young man, is like many of us. We don't care. We are in the individualistic world. We don't care about what they do. We don't interact anymore. How's your day? They don't even respond. But then there is this older man who comes and says, come, let's dance, right? I think it's such a beautiful picture of Matthew 14:19, because Jesus is the one that says, follow me. Are you willing to take the risk of being laughed at and embarrass yourself? Nobody wants to be embarrassed. But just like Zacchaeus 2 Sundays ago, we said he wasn't concerned about being embarrassed for Jesus Christ. If we take the first step, things can be so different. We can potentially influence a lot of people just like that. Everybody in that picture, it's like everybody's just individualistic. They're not connecting. Today, that's the world that you and I live in. We don't know our neighbors. We don't connect with them. We don't know our workers, co-workers. We don't connect with them because they have their own lives. We have our own. Why should we? Would that not be intruding? Friends, no. God has called us to make a step and build because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And they need to be part of God's body as well. Amen? And so we need to take a first step, just like the older gentleman who started dancing. Jesus is calling us, follow me, and I will make you fishers or dancers or singers or whatever, engineers for men. What are some first steps? Let me make a few suggestions as we wrap up our time here. Sign up for the membership. We will be having our membership orientation class this Friday. If you're not part, if you're not a member of Heart of Faith yet, and many of you think that because you've been coming, you're a member, that doesn't work that way. We need to make a commitment to become a member of a body. It's just like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You know, they've been together for 9 years, but until they got married last August, that makes them officially husband and wife. It's the dating period is over. They tied the knot. They signed a contract. It's the same thing with membership. I would like to take a step of faith now to be part of this body of Christ at Heart of Faith Church. So, if you haven't done yet, there are cards there at the back. Let me know. And please let me know if you're coming this Friday so I can prepare enough materials for you. No commitment yet, by the way. I'd like to hear what are we teaching here at Heart of Faith? What is Evangelical Free Church of America, of which we are part of? And then from there, you make your decision. The second first step is discipleship. I think that's the next slide. We are going through a discipleship training. Now, I have made 3:30 to 5 p.m. because June has asked many of you if you are available. Most of you said in the afternoon. So if you can come, join us. This will be this Saturday at our place. Let me know if you can make it also. The sign-up sheet, I forgot. I'm sorry, but we can have a sign-up sheet there at the back with a blank sheet of paper. This is something I thought of last night. The next slide shows that we make people know about many things we do, right? Discipleship is probably one way of declaring our faith in Christ, that we are followers. And so how do we share our faith? This is one way that we can know. But there can be some simple ways of declaring that you really are following Jesus. Something that you do, most of you probably do every day. You post in your Facebook or in your Twitter, I follow this or I follow that. What about if we say, I follow Jesus at Heart of Faith Church? Would that be something that you might be interested to declare to your friends at Facebook or Twitter or whatever media that you are part of and say, this is where God is leading me now. I'd like to follow Christ at Heart of Faith Church. If this is your body. And then lastly, so this is what I did last night. Lastly, coming November, we have not had growth group for a while for a reason, but growth group will start in November when we start a new series called Simple Church. So I'd like for you to think about that also. But beyond all of these suggestions, I mentioned about outflow, how can we start reaching out? Who is my neighbor who needs to follow Jesus? Who is the neighbor who's just playing bingo there? I'm not saying literally bingo, but they're just living life routinely and not experiencing the richness of the life that Jesus is offering us. Could that be that God is calling us to reach out to them? What is God calling you as a first step so that you can feel again, so that you and I can be really functioning as a member of the body of Christ? Let's call on our worship team as we close our time. And let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us the joy to continue to trust you, even when things do not work well, even when things seem dry for us. God, I pray that just like that video, we would feel again, Lord God. And it's not just about feeling, but experiencing the power of Christ in us as we take first steps of trusting you in how we can be functioning as a member of your body. So thank you, God, for how you would just work in and through our lives as we continue to trust you to be fishers of men and following you. Thank you in Jesus' name.